Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Come on, say that again, choir. Come on, help them, help them. Sin Jesus, Jesus, how we thank you for taking our sins and washing them white as snow.
Yes, sir. Yes, yes.
We thank you for your cleansing power. Mm-hmm. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so on this first Sunday in 2019, we come to say thank
yes,
you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. We're not worthy of all of your blessings, but we can say thank you for the blessings of another year. We can say thank you for last night we went to bed in expectation of getting up this morning. And you fulfilled our faith and our expectations by allowing the angel to touch us, to wake us out of our sleep. And so we say thank you. We thank you that when our eyes opened, we were able to see the beauty of the homes in which we live, and some of us had family to greet us. And we say thank you. We thank you for the morsel of bread, toast, little jam on it that you enable us to partake of. And we say thank you. For a place to worship, together in corporate worship, to be with the saints who have come this far by faith, we say thank you. And now we thank you for the music of the choir, the words of scripture from the choral readers, sounding of the bells from the bell choir, the gift of music that has come through our musicians. We thank you and we bless your name. Be with us now in the spoken word. That what we say and what we do will bring glory and honor to your name. Bless us now. Honor us with your presence and with your power. For surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the name of Christ our Lord we pray. And all the people of God who love God said, amen. Amen. And those who are not ashamed shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, help me now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a word that comes to us today. reminding us that there are at least two roads that we can take. The road that leads to hell. Yes, I did say hell. The road that leads away from the kingdom of God. And then there's that road that leads to heaven, the dwelling place of the Almighty God. A scripture lesson comes to us from Matthew chapter 2, the text, verses 7 through 12. And it reads, "Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquiring of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor the question, what road would you take? What road will you take? In 2019, we as Christians and we as people have at least three roads that we can take. We can take the road of anger, the road of security, and the road of trusting in God. The other day, I got in my car and sat there for a moment trying to decide which road I must take to get home, to get to 1142 Forest Square. I know that sometimes I take I-10 to 1604, make that left and go up past Judson High School, past HEB and make the left. Go a couple of blocks and turn right on Tupperwine or Judson and go up three or four or five blocks, Brother Roebuck, and make another left and then a right. Second house on the right is where I live. Or sometimes I take 35 north, go to Judson Road, make a right, go down about a mile and a half, make another right, go down about two blocks, take another right. Now you notice lefts and rights gets me to where I plan to go. And so the other day I said, I'm going to surprise myself. I'm going to sit in the car and use my GPS to see which road I will take to get home. Punched in. First it said address. Put the address in. Then it said street. Put the street in. And then I punched, ready to go, and a voice came on saying, "Proceed." Oh, help me, somebody.
to the designated route. Guess what? It took me to 35. In the Air Force, those of us who had security clearances were taught that you do not take the same road home all the time. Help me, somebody. So I learned in my travels that there are several ways to get home. But there's one way to get really home. Help me, somebody. And that road is through Jesus the Christ. James Russell Lowell, on his 68th birthday, wrote, "As life rolls on, the road grows strange with faces now and near the end. The milestones change into headstones. Every one of my friends," he writes, "takes the road of death." C.S. Lewis wrote in his The Scrooge Tape Letters in 1941, "The safest road to hell is a gradual one. The gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. So anyway you travel, there's opposite the way of God, and the path that God has laid out for us will take us to hell. No signposts, no turn here or there. The road to hell is straight." Oh, y'all missed that. Robert Frost, in his poem, "The Road Not Taken," written in 1916, gives us these words: "I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverge in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. If you want to make the difference in your life, follow the road of Christ. Follow the road of brotherly love, sisterly love. Follow the road of justice and righteousness. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do not do unto others before they do unto you. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." When we look at the text, there are at least several things that jump out to me that points me in a road. One is a road that I should not take. The Bible says to us that in the days of Herod the king, that Jesus Christ was born in a little town in Bethlehem. The Bible shares with us that three wise men, Sister Harrison, three wise men came bearing gifts. Josephus and biblical historians give their name as Caspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar. These three came because they saw, Sister Evans, a star in the east. And when they reported to Herod, they reported with great confidence, "We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. We have seen the star, him that is born King of the Jews." King of the Jews. When they said King of the Jews, Herod, if he was asleep, woke up. For he thought that he was king. But can I tell you something? There are a lot of us who walk around with crowns on, but we're not kings. There are a lot of us who place on our head and around our necks and on our fingers emblems of kingship. But I'll stop by on my way to heaven to tell you that there is one king who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the Living God. We may think that we are big shots. We may think that we have this. We have the championship. But I want to say to Dallas, and I love Dallas Cowboys, that you have this championship. But there's another championship. Paul writes to his son Timothy and shares with Timothy, Timothy, guess what? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And now there's laid up for me a crown. Help me, somebody. A crown of righteousness that the righteous judge shall give unto me. Herod, when he had heard that Jesus Christ was being born and that he was the King of the Jews, you may remember that Isaiah writes about, unto us a son is given, unto us a child is given, unto us the government shall be upon his shoulder. Not upon the shoulder, excuse me, President Trump, but not on the shoulder of President Trump. Trump may be able to say, I'm going to stop. Oh, yeah. I am not going to let government workers be paid. But I want you to know that there is a payday that is coming that no earthly person will be able to stop. And even if he stops, I'll pay. Malachi tells me that the windows of heaven shall be open and that we shall receive blessings that we do not have room enough. I wish I had somebody here that's received a blessing that you didn't have room enough to receive. That's why David said, my cup runneth over, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When Herod heard this, he called together all of his leaders who were able, supposedly, to foretell the future. Can I say something to those of us who think that we know the future? You don't know the future. The future is in God's hand. He says in Jeremiah 29, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do you good and not harm. Plans to prosper you. Thank God for his plans to prosper us. There is a blessing, yeah, with your name on it. All you got to do is take the road that leads to the kingdom of God. Herod calls together all the fortune tellers, all the soothsayers, all the witches, all, and asked them, and they could not tell him about the future. But thanks be to God that the wise men were there, and they pronounced that he is the King of the Jews. Herod took the road of anger. Anger, can I help somebody here? Anger is not the will of God for our lives. Has anybody ever made you so mad, so angry that you could just shake them to death? Oh, help me, somebody. Have any of your children ever acted foolishly? I ought to be rolling down your lane now. your husband ever disappointed you and your wife ever said something to you that you didn't like, and you just said, if I did not have control, I would shake him, beat her, beat. Oh, yeah, you know you said it. Have you ever made somebody so mad that they said, I'll slap you into a new life? Have you ever made somebody so mad that they say, boy, you don't know who you messing with? Don't you know I will? Herod was angry because of the word that Jesus Christ was a king of the Jews. And so he sent the wise men and listen to the lie that he tells. Go find him. Bring me word that I too may worship him. Have you ever worshiped something you disliked? Some folk worship the job that they're on, and guess what? They don't like the job. They don't like people on the job. They don't like where the job is. And they don't like the salary that they receive. But guess what? They keep going every day to that you don't like. That you're angry about. He said, I want to worship him. Herod did not know what he was saying. To worship God means that you surrender all that you have and all that you are to God. It means that you turn away from the world and turn to Christ. Jesus said, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me today. No. He said, follow me what? Daily. That means every hour, every moment, every second, we are to follow the true and living God. Wise men go and they give frankincense, myrrh, gold. They give gifts that are fit for a king and that for the bearing of a person. They give precious gifts. And when they had given their gifts, they bowed down and worshiped him. They bowed down, they humbled themselves before the king. They humble themselves before the word of God made flesh. And then the Bible says that when they got up from worshiping, there's another sermon here. When you leave church, you ought not go back the same way you came. Oh, somebody ought to pray with me here. When you leave the presence of God, you ought to go back differently than when you came. That's why the old folks used to say, I met God one night. My heart wasn't right, but something got a hold of me. And I looked at my hands and they looked new. I looked at my feet and they did too. I had a new way of walking and a new way of talking. It didn't say that I forgot the language, but I had a new vocabulary. Oh, y'all not walking with me. Some folk come to church cussing and they leave cussing. Some folk come to church criticizing and they leave criticizing. Some folk come to church and can't find joy in anything that happens. But can I tell you something? Jesus the Christ is the center of my joy. And when I come into his presence, I find a new way of walking. A new way of talking. I may have left home mad, but guess what? When I get back in my car after walking with the Lord and after hearing the Lord, guess what? I got a new way of saying, baby, sure do love you, baby. Sometimes we ought to leave church with a word of love on our lips and not, I'm still mad. I'm still angry. Anger is the work of Satan. It does not please God for us to be angry with one another. James 1:19 through 20 says, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. The best reason to be slow to anger is because it allows us to take time to consider the big picture. We're so busy having tunnel vision that we can't see what God is doing in His church. We're angry about the attendance. We're angry about how long the service is. But you ought to put your anger to the side and let God move in your heart. Move. He moves. And when He moves, He blesses. And when He blesses, He throws out new dimensions of His goodness and of His mercy. Well, the second road is the road of security. Where do you turn for security? Psalm 42 says, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Can I help somebody here? Following Jesus is risky business. You cannot look back. You have to step out on faith. You might have to make radical changes to your life. In Matthew 14, Jesus surprised the disciples by walking on the waves toward their boat. They think that He's a ghost, but He tells them not to be afraid. They think that He's a ghost, but when they hear the voice of Jesus, they recognize the fact that this is the Master. When you know His voice, guess what He says? My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. If Jesus is your shepherd, He speaks and you respond to His speaking because you know His voice. To know His voice means that you have been in His presence. To know His voice means that you have walked with Him. To know His voice means that you have talked with Him. To know His voice means that the joy that you share with Him, no other has ever shared before. To know His voice means that you're in with Him and not in with the in crowd. Bible says they thought it was a ghost until He told them, be not afraid. The God that I serve does not want us to be afraid. He does not want us to be angry. And so He comes walking to us on the waves of our lives and the difficult times that we find ourselves. And guess what? Peter is on board of that ship, on board of that boat. He recognizes the voice of Jesus. And he says to Him, Master, if that be You, there's a hint of doubt there. Master, if it be You, Lord, if it be you, call me to come to You. I can see Peter in my sanctified imagination. When Jesus said, come, he looked back at the boys and said, he ain't talking to y'all. He talking to me. He told me to come. He steps out of a secure boat onto the sea, and he started to walk. Can I tell you something? He walked in faith. But when the wind and the waves began to dance upon his feet, he walked in doubt. When you walk in faith, you can always come to Jesus, no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance, for we walk by faith and not by sight. But when he started to doubt, he started to sink. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't doubt. If you doubt, you'll sink. start sinking. But thank God, Peter had a prayer. We need to walk the way of prayer. The path that we should take should be a path of faith and a path of prayer. He stepped out on faith, but he began to doubt. And when he began to doubt, he prayed. The Bible didn't say how long he prayed. Didn't say that he used flowery words to stir up the congregation, to stir up the disciples, to prove to the disciples how much he knew and how much he walked with God. But the Bible said he started to sink. And when he started to sink, he looked up and saw the presence of Christ. And he said, Lord, save me. I don't know about you, but every now and then when I'm going through the storms of life and when the winds of life are blowing, I don't have a long time to pray. I just say, Lord, save me. Some of you know I'm a pretty good driver, but I've had 3 wrecks. None of them was my fault. They were not my fault. A car stopped too quick and I ran in the back of it. Tore up the car, my car. The other one, someone was slithering through the cars and I had the right of way and I'm driving the speed limit. And so I plowed into their side, tore up that car. And guess what? Each time that little white sack, that little white sack, the airbag, just popped up, hit me in the face. And guess what I said? Lord, thank you for the safety. Because if it had not been for the airbag, guess what? My body would have gone through the window shield. But thanks be to God, God always knows how to protect his people. Those of us who cried, Lord, save me. He saved me. His grace, his mercy, his love popped up just when I needed the most. The road of safety leads to us obeying God. The Bible said that Jesus just reached down. I'm almost through here. That Jesus reached down and lifted him up. Is there anybody that knows something about their security in the presence of God? That when you're sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more, up from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Is there anybody here that knows something about the love of God? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have life everlasting. Is there anybody here that knows something about the love of God that protects us even when we don't know that we need protection? Is there anybody here that knows something about the love of God that is dispensed in grace and mercy and in forgiveness? Is there anybody here and know something about the security that comes in Jesus Christ? So don't take the road of anger. Don't take the road, but do take the road of finding security in the presence of Christ. And then finally take the road of trust. Trusting in God. We used to sing on watch night service, we come this far by faith, trusting in the Lord. And he's never, ever left us. He's never, ever left us. Some time ago, I saw I read a story about a man who had a driver's license, who had a license plate on his car that said trust. Trust. All it said was trust. On the front plate, it said trust. On the back plate, it said trust. And I thought maybe this isn't a preacher. Maybe this is someone with a theological message about trust, trusting in God. But lady, in the story it said that the man was a banker who's the president of a bank called Trust, the Trust Bank. Can I help you here? There's a message here. Whenever you're going through something, trust in God. Trust in God and you will not sink. Trust in God and you will not become angry with the world and with citizens of this world. Trust in God and your testimony can be in the words of McKinley. I've seen the lightning flashing and I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on. He promised never to leave me. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. The world would tie us down. But if you only trust in God, don't worry about the bank account. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down. But you can trust the word of God. You may try to trust your friends, but they will fail you. But I say to you in 2019, trust God. The reason why you can trust God is because he sent his son, Jesus. The Bible tells us in the word, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And without God, without the word, there was nothing made that was made. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. I wished I had time to talk about what the word is. The word is Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is God in the flesh. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first fruit of the dead. In Genesis, he is the one who provides. In Exodus, he is the I am that I am. In Leviticus, he is the priest and sacrifice. In Numbers, he is the defender of 3 million Jews for 40 years in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy, he buried his servant Moses in an unmarked grave. In Joshua, I'm talking about the word, he makes the sun stand still for a whole day. In Judges, he is the restorer of strength to Samson. In Ruth, he is a redeemer kinsman. In Job, he's a living redeemer. In the Psalm of Solomon, he is the rose and the lily of the valley. In Isaiah, he's a child, Emmanuel, God with us. In Jeremiah, he is the potter. In Ezekiel, he is the wheel in the middle of a wheel. And I wished I had time to talk to you about my grandmother. She would tell me the word is my walking cane. I lean on him. Is there anybody here? Oh, yeah. That lean on the Lord. Is there anybody here? They can say, I trust in God, whatever be tied. I will give God glory and I will give God honor. Is there anybody here that takes the way of faith, the way of trust, the way of love, the way of forgiveness, the way of loving your neighbor like you love yourself? I wished I had time to talk about how he walks with me and how he talks with me and tells me that I am his own. And the joy, the joy that we share, no other has ever known. They went back home another way. They didn't have
the GPS. They just had the word of God. You don't need a GPS to get to heaven. You won't get there. But you do need the word of God. For the word of God sets us free. The word of God gives us a pathway to eternal life. And so I tell you now, his yoke is easy. His yoke is easy. His burdens are light. That's it, folk. I ain't got no more. But hey! Hey! Hey, hey, hey!
Amen. Let the church stand. The choir is coming. The officers are coming. The doors of the church are open. Which road will you take? Decide today. Follow the word of God. Trust in the Savior who is the Christ. Receive the gift of salvation and eternal life. The doors of the church are open. We invite you to come.
I'm going with Jesus all the way. I'm going with Jesus all the way. You can't stop me. You can't turn me. I'm going with Jesus all the way. Sometimes I have to fast and pray. Sometimes I have to steal away. Sometimes I have to cry.